Open your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I believe that tonight is a very timely passage of Scripture, given just some of the events of the last couple of weeks and some of our lives. Yesterday, I was watching a live stream of a funeral for a dear saint named Sister Geraldine Harpool, who was, I think every church has someone kind of like him, or at least they have at some point, but Geraldine Harpool was like the matriarch of the church I grew up in. She had been there forever, it seemed like. The oldest people in the church couldn't remember the church before Sister Geraldine was there. And if you had a question about anything that had ever happened in that church, she could tell you the date, the place, she knew. But above all of that, she was someone who loved the Lord. She was someone, and that was just evidenced in her life. But she loved her husband. Her husband, Brother David Harpool, was the pastor of that church for 20-some years before he had developed Parkinson's and wasn't able to pastor anymore. But they were faithful, and I grew up watching them every week. And it made a huge impact in my life. And while I was in Wichita visiting my dad a couple weeks ago, there's two plaques they have hanging on the wall. And my grandpa's name is on one of those. His name was Clint McDaniel. He passed away when I was 4. And my only memories of him, I remember one time I was riding on his shoulders and we were hunting rabbits, which I don't even know. We didn't have a gun. I don't know what we were going to do if we found one. But I remember riding on his shoulders one time. I remember going into his basement. It smelled like mothballs and must and asbestos and all kinds of stuff. But the testimony of my grandfather, Clint McDaniel, he was a man who loved the Lord. The word that people often describe him with is he was a gentle person. And sometimes that can almost be an insult to a man. But our Lord was a gentle man. Amen. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. And we got to strive for gentleness. And I don't think there's much of that in the world anymore. But I was looking at these two plaques. Another lady, Sister Eloise Bowman. The first time I ever lost a tooth, she was our build-on. She was the gum lady. I didn't even know her name at the time. She was the gum lady. And you would go to her after church, and she had a purse. Build-on doesn't have a purse, thankfully. But the gum lady would have a purse, like Mary Poppins' bag, and she'd open it up, and she'd always have Winter Fresh, Spearmint, and Big Red and Juicy Fruit. It was like a buffet of whatever you'd want for gum. And all us kids at the church, we'd run over to get our gum from her. And I remember one time I was probably about 5 or 6. I got a piece of Big Red. I can still taste it. And all of a sudden, I tasted something else, like iron, kind of. And then someone was like, "Your mouth's bleeding." And if I don't do well with blood, it started at a young age. So I went to the bathroom, and I remember looking in the sink, and my mouth's bleeding. And I'd lost it. It was my first tooth I'd ever lost. Sister Bowman had given me that piece of gum. But she was a dear saint as well. Loved the Lord, loved the church, loved the kids, loved people. And I was looking at these two plaques on the wall a couple of weeks ago, just reading these names. And these names, people you don't know. Brother Herb Snow, Brother Harold Schaff, Brother JC. Man, I grew up watching these people. And I was just looking at these names, and all these memories of these people were kind of flooding my mind. And I thought about them today while attending this funeral that was here. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Brother Isaac started us in this chapter this morning, not to give the whole message away, but we're going to talk about the resurrection. And you know what it is that gives us hope in our grief and our mourning? Is the resurrection. Amen. If there's no resurrection, Clint McDaniel is gone to history. He's gone. Sister Bowman's gone. Brother JC's gone. All the dear saints, you guys have them in your church too. We have them here at Calvary. A lot of them have gone before I showed up, but I hear you talk about them. Listen, if there's no resurrection, they're gone. You'll never see them again. And in a couple hundred years, they'll be forgotten. No one will ever mention their name, and that's it. There's no hope there, is there? There's no hope there. But because of the resurrection, there is hope. Amen. I'm going to see him again. You know, I don't know what heaven will be like. I don't know what the new earth will be like exactly. I don't know if I'll have any memories of losing my teeth or not, but there's a chance. I don't know. I might see Sister Bowman and smile at her and show her the tooth that grew in because of her. I don't know. But listen, we have hope because of the resurrection. And I was thinking, I've attended all of, I'm like a philosopher today. All of life is just going to funerals until it's your own. Right? Like, you just keep going to funerals until it's yours. I've been to a lot of funerals. I've had a lot of family and friends pass away. I've preached funerals. And I've been at funerals where there was no hope. And I can't think of a sadder thing I've ever done. And it scares me because I can't think of a sadder thing I'll ever have to do. When I ask you guys to pray for my grandpa, it's because he's 93 and I have no hope when he dies. I have hope to see Jesus. I don't have any hope that I'm going to see him again. That's devastating. Amen. But I've been to funerals where there is abundant hope. And the preacher gets up and preaches about the resurrection and talks about Jesus. And you know because of the testimony of that person, it's not because they were good, it's not because, you know, if it's someone you knew and you loved and you were close to, you know they weren't perfect. You were close to him, you knew that. But you knew that their trust was in a perfect Savior who was sufficient for them. So when they took their last breath, they stood before God, not worthy of heaven, but saved by someone who is worthy of God's presence forever. And so tonight, as we look into 1 Corinthians 15, understand, Brother Isaac said it this morning, but all of Christianity, everything that we believe, everything hinges on this chapter. Not to say that one part of the Bible is more important than others, but I do believe this, that there are doctrinal truths that are more critical than others. And there is no more critical truth than the resurrection of Jesus. You can be wrong about some other things. We could be wrong about some other things, but if Jesus died and brought himself back to life, Christianity is still true. Right? Like it's the hinge point of Christianity. If Jesus is born and dies and it ends there, this is all a waste too. But the resurrection was the proof that he is who he says he was. And so we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talking about the resurrection tonight. And I hope that you leave with hope. And I also hope that you leave motivated, that others would be able to share in that same hope. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, the Bible says, "Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" Let's stop and let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and the hope that we have in Christ. Lord, I pray tonight that you would help all of us to only think on Jesus. And Lord, if there's one here tonight or watching online that doesn't know Christ, that hasn't received the forgiveness of their sins, Lord, I pray that tonight they would cry out to Christ. Lord, be saved. And Lord, that each of us here tonight, you would help us to remember, Lord, how much you love us and how you proved that. Lord, help us to live in light of the resurrection, that we would live every day in hope like you want us to. Lord, I pray that we would all be found in your will as we leave here tonight. We thank you so much for your grace in our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here at the church at Corinth, we all know that there were a lot of issues that were going on in this church, some different things that they were dealing with that Paul had to write to them about, but maybe none greater than this right here. Think about all the issues that were going on that we've studied about at the church at Corinth, but I don't think there was a bigger issue in the church than the fact that some people were questioning or even outright denying the resurrection. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, I believe this. I believe that they believe that Jesus had risen from the grave, because that's what he says earlier in chapter 15. He reminds them, we talked about it this morning, he preached the gospel, and it's what they believed. Right? Verse number one. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also received, and wherein ye stand. And so here's the problem. They believed that Jesus rose from the grave, but it seems to be that the question or the denial is that people are going to come back to life. They were questioning or outright denying the existence of an actual bodily, physical resurrection. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? That's why that's a really important question they were posing. Now, are there still some today who claim that Christ is not risen? Yeah, the world is full of skeptics. It's not hard to find them. Unless you don't talk to anybody ever about the gospel, but if you do, you'll find that there are people who do not believe that Jesus has come back from the grave. And so it stands to reason, they certainly do not believe that you and I are going to come back from the grave. And we've talked about this many times, but that's the reason the world is in the state that it's in. And we're going to highlight some of those things, but if Christ be not risen, listen, if Jesus couldn't overcome death, that's really bad news for us because we're not going to overcome death. Amen. And if we don't overcome death, if we live our lives and that's it, and we're dead and we're gone, there's no point to anything ever. Amen. If you want to get a weapon and go into a public place and take the life of 30 people just because you want to, who cares? Who cares? If you want to be as promiscuous as possible and end the life of every single baby that you bring into the world, who cares? What does it matter? If all you're going to do is be born and live a few years and then die and be buried and that's it, it's gray, it's gone, it's done forever, then what's the point of anything? That's, people don't realize it, but that's the reason we're in the state that we're in, because that is what we, that's what society accepts as true. It's irrational to believe that a purposeless origin has brought about a people who desire to find purpose. If we just came about by accident with no purpose originally, then why in the world have people since the beginning of time sought a purpose in life? I believe what Paul's about to put out in this in the next few verses is essentially this. Sum it up like this. Believe this or don't believe anything. If you don't believe in the resurrection, there's no point to believing anything else. It's a waste. So some were saying that there was not going to be a physical bodily resurrection, but the problem with that is if there is no physical resurrection, then Jesus is also not alive. You can't believe, and that's the problem. And there's some different ideas about why they thought that. Where do you get off believing that? Well, I think probably some philosophy had snuck into the way of thinking. Some of the way the Greeks thought had kind of permeated into the church. And I would say that many times we are wrong. It's because modern philosophy and thinking trumps our belief in what the Bible says. What did Job say? Listen, someday I'm going to die. Worms are going to eat my body. But I know that in my flesh I'm going to see God. Amen. I mean, it doesn't get any clearer than that. Job said, in my flesh I will see God. Amen. That's the resurrection. And I've always been astounded that Job knew that. How did Job know that? Isn't that strange? But Job believed in the bodily resurrection. It's a scriptural thing, but I believe that philosophy and some different thinking had permeated the church, and we ought to be careful of that too. Think, well, how did they get so wrong about some of the things they believed and thought? Friends, we are so wrong about things we believe and think when we allow modern worldly philosophies to trump what the Bible says. Still happens today. But Brother Isaac mentioned this morning that that throughout this chapter we see cause and effect, if then, right? And this is, over and over again in these few verses, that's what we see, if or then or cause and effect. If there is no resurrection, look at verse number 13. If there be no resurrection, then Christ is not risen, he is dead, is what Paul said. If there is no resurrection, then Jesus of Nazareth, who was born and then crucified and laid in that tomb, he's still dead today. Everything is pointless and empty if that's the case. Verse number 14, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And that word vain, it's good. It means empty or purposeless. If there be no resurrection, Jesus is still dead. Everything is pointless and empty, and certainly the preaching. Everything that's been preached by Paul is empty. It's vain. There's nothing to it. It's just words. Tim Keller said this: if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said, though. If Jesus rose from the dead, you have to accept everything that he said. Amen. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about anything that he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teachings, but whether or not he came back from the dead. Because anyone who brings himself back to life from the dead, you got to listen to everything they say. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Preaching is vain or futile. Labor is pointless. All the preaching. Think about how Paul had spent his life preaching the gospel. Think about all the things. And he gives us a list of things that he had suffered for the cause of Christ. All of those things that he did in order to preach the gospel were completely futile and pointless and worthless. And what a terrible existence to spend your entire life being beaten and abused and imprisoned and whipped and shipwrecked and snake bit and all these different things, to come to the end and think, I just did all that for nothing. Have you ever spent a day working and then realized you had done it all for nothing? I think two examples. One's fun for you guys to hear. Another one's real fun for me to tell. One time I was building a fence with my dad, and I hate to say this because we're live streaming, but he was right and I was wrong. But I ran all these 2x4 runners before I put my pickets up. And he had told me to check something. I was like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. And then I had spent the entire day hanging up all my pickets. And then after it's like 70 feet of pickets I had put up, I look over and realize that all of my 2x4s didn't look good. So I asked him, I said, do you think the homeowner's going to notice? So I spent the next day taking all the pickets down. And that was a bad night for Ben, realizing that I had spent the entire day working for nothing. What was the point? Here's a really fun story. I once knew of a guy who picked up another person to go work on a job. And so they go to the gas station and they stop for fuel, and this much younger person comes back out of the gas station, and his friend, let's call him Isaac, I don't know. He has a look on his face of concern. I thought somebody had died he's on the phone, I thought someone had died. Can I tell this story, Brother Isaac? Is that okay? Brother Isaac had this look on his face of concern. He's on the phone. I really thought one of you guys had died, and he's like taking this phone call. And so he hangs up, and I'm waiting for the news. Like, which one is it? No, in the busyness of the day, he had accidentally put gasoline in the diesel truck, which could happen to anybody. So I thought, okay, well, that's not as bad as someone dying. That's all right. But now I don't know. So anyways, we took off, and the truck wasn't running too good. So we stopped at Tractor Supply there in Salisaw, and we were going to get a siphon. We were going to get the diesel out of the truck, or get the gas out of the truck. Well, we didn't have anywhere to put it, so I'm really sorry if you care about the environment and the earth. But we siphoned, I don't know, 10 or 15 gallons of gas out of the truck onto the parking lot at Tractor Supply. And if I wasn't there, I would have thought I was lying. Kid walks up who works there. He starts talking to us. He goes to college. I don't remember where he said. What was his degree in? He was working at Tractor Supply, and his degree is in environmental safety. As we are just siphoning gasoline out onto the parking lot at Tractor Supply. And so we do that. And then we ended up getting the truck over to the gas station, put some more diesel in it because we're thinking, you know, it'll be heavier diesel. And that didn't work either. Ended up having to siphon all that out of there. This is only fun because I wasn't the one paying for all the gas and the diesel. We drive it, or he drives it. And this, just to make matters even better, this was a job we were starting at like 4 in the evening. It was at the VA, so we had to do it after they were shut down. So this is already going to be a late night. So we get there, carry the tools upstairs. It's on the fourth floor, get them up the elevator. It's been a long day. One of those days where you got to be careful not to push anyone's buttons, you know? Just kidding. He took all this in stride. But we get up there, we start working, we take everything down. They had already gotten it kind of prepped. We take the plexiglass down, and we get to work in, make the templates, which takes a little bit of time. And then we realize that the countertops were not the right size. And so you know what we did? We put the tools back in the truck, put the plexiglass back up, drove all the way back home. All of that was for nothing. All of that was for nothing. You still got to go back and finish the job. Nothing happened that night. But listen, to endure all those things and then at the end of the day realize, like, wow, I could have just stayed at my house, sat on my couch, and accomplished the same things without going through all of those unfortunate circumstances. What a dreadful thing. That's a fun story. But I've been there. I've put in long days of work and messed something up and had to undo it and do it again the next day. And you labor and you labor and you labor, and at the end of the day you realize, wow, I did all of that for nothing. And that's what Paul is saying here. If Christ is not risen, everything you've ever done in church has been a huge waste of time. Why did you do it? What's the point? If Christ was crucified and put in the grave and he's still dead today, every Sunday school lesson you've sat through, waste of time. Every sermon you listen to, waste of time. Every person you've given a tract to, waste of time. Every prayer you've ever prayed has been said to somebody who's dead and can't hear you. If Christ be not risen, everything is a waste. And you shouldn't even listen to me finish this sermon. Why are you here? Yeah, Brother Kenny's about to leave. Say the word. Yeah, I mean, what are we doing? But especially guys like Paul, listen, like the worst for us is like, well, maybe we've wasted our lives. We could have spent that time doing something else. For Paul, he was probably missing parts of his flesh from being whipped. Think about the people who had suffered for the cause of Christ, who were being persecuted. Think about the people elsewhere in the world today that if Christ be not risen, they are literally being physically harmed for a lie. Which Lee Strobel said was one of the greatest compelling evidences for the resurrection. That people might lie, but they're not going to suffer for a lie. If the apostles knew, if they had stolen the body, listen, if after that happened, they became, I don't know, like popes, if they became like prestigious preachers who were flying around in jets making $7 billion a year, then I could say, okay, I understand why they're lying. Like, that makes sense. There's something to gain for them. But what was there to gain from a lie? Being crucified upside down, being burned, being boiled alive. Why would they do that for a lie? But if Christ is dead, that's exactly what they did. He says, preaching is vain, your faith is vain or futile. Everything you have faith in is pointless. Not only that, listen to what he says in verse number 15. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. if so be that the dead rise not. I think it's even worse than that. Paul says, not only are we wrong about things, if Jesus isn't alive, they still weren't questioning the existence of God, right? Like them and their Jewish like brothers, they believed in God and the Creator. But he says, if Jesus isn't alive, we are now false teachers. We are false prophets who are claiming something about God that's not true. That's a serious offense. That's a very serious offense. He said, we are false witnesses if Christ be not raised. And maybe worst of all, he says in verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. If Christ be not raised, who's forgiven you? If you're born again tonight and I ask you, well, who has forgiven you of your sins? What would you say? So, well, Jesus has. But if Jesus died and they put him in a tomb and he never came back to life, how do he forgive you of your sins? He didn't hear your prayers. He's dead. And your condition is dire. And very sadly, in verse 18, he says, then also they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Perished. Gone. The word, looking up in the Strong's, it uses the word aborted. Erased from existence is what he's trying to say. And what a hopeless situation that would be. To stand here and think that we've wasted our lives. And he says in verse number 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. As a believer, as a child of God, you realize this? And if not, you ought to realize this. There are earthly pleasures that we are to deny. The world is full of pleasurable things that our sinful flesh would love to dive into. And I got to be honest, if Christ is not risen, why in the world would we not feed our fleshly appetites? Why not? What is the point of any sort of morals or virtue if in this life it's all it is? So you almost understand. I mean, I get the logic. Those who do not believe in a resurrection, yeah, who cares? Do whatever you want. That makes sense. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this is the best it's ever going to get for Paul, that's a miserable existence. To spend your life for the sake of the gospel, that's not even true. Your faith is vain. Preaching is vain. Everything you've ever done is vain. Your prayers haven't been heard. You're still in your sins. Your loved ones are gone forever. But praise God for verse 20, right? Amen. Look at verse 20 with me. Let's all read this together. This is good. I'm going to set you up here. I'm going to read verse 19. Let's read verse 20 together and read it with some conviction. Like it gives you hope tonight. You ready? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And become the first fruits of them that slept. Amen. Man, you guys are preaching tonight. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Amen. Is. Not only was he risen, he is risen. It wasn't that Christ came back to life, like was mentioned this morning. Lazarus came back to life, and then a few years later, he died again. The widow's son came back to life, and a few years later, you know what happened? He died again. But Jesus came back to life. You know what the book of Hebrews tells us? Is that Jesus died once for all, and right now, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to make intercession for us, and he's never going to die again. He's never going to die again. He has defeated death. He's defeated corruption, as was mentioned this morning. Now, right now. That's present tense. That was true when Paul wrote it 2,000 years ago. And here in 2023, it is still just as true. Right now, Christ is risen from the dead. Right now. Amen. And 30 years from now, if we're all still around and preacher gets up and reads this verse, it'll be true 30 years from now. Right. And 1,000 years from now. And 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, God's word exists forever. You know, Christ is risen from the dead 1 billion years from now. He will not die again. So when he promises us eternal life, he's the only one that can grant that promise. Because Christ will never die, I'll never die. That's what he says to Mary and Martha, right? Your brother. Listen, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He who believes in me will never die. I'm not going to die. The day that I was born into the family of God, John chapter 1 tells us, they that believe on him become the sons of God. The day that I became a son of God, it was sealed for all of eternity. I'm never going to die. Never going to die. My body will stop. Someday, you guys, there might be a funeral here for me. I don't know. My body might be up here. I want to be buried at sea. That'd be kind of cool. Make that happen. It's like send me out on a raft and like shoot a flaming arrow at it, like a Viking. Be cool. Just like Lake Ten Killer or something. That would make the news. I can see it now. Calvary Church in Muldrow. 30 parishioners arrested. So my body might be here. You might have a service for me, but I'm not dead. I'm not dead. I'm alive because Christ is alive. My life is hid with Christ. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And I love that. Christ, it was mentioned this morning, he is the first fruits. You know what that implies? He's the first, but he's not the last. Amen. He's the first to receive that incorruptible body, but he's not going to be the last. And when I die, I might drop dead in 30 seconds. I don't know. It could happen. My heart could stop beating. I will be present with the Lord, but someday my body is going to get up again and be reunited with my soul. And we'll live forever in an incorruptible form, without sin, without flaws, with nothing. And this is a critical truth of the Christian faith. The resurrection. For since by man came death, Adam, right? We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. I told all the kids that they got their sin nature from their dads. It's true. And they got them from their dads. And they got them from their dads all the way back to Adam. Adam sinned, and everybody who descends from Adam has sin. That's why the virgin birth is so important, right? Jesus did not have an earthly father. If Joseph was his biological father, then Jesus had sinned just like us. But Jesus did not have an earthly father. He was born of a virgin without a sin nature, so he was a acceptable sacrifice to God. But it says that since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Amen. Jesus was a man. And I can't even begin to really comprehend the truth that Jesus is all God and all man. It doesn't compute. And I hate when little people ask me questions that I can't answer. I just, someday in eternity, I want them to ask me what the Trinity means, and I can just point to Jesus and say, go ask him. I got nothing. I can try. Everything falls short. I don't understand everything. I understand very little. But I understand this, that the Bible says that sin came by one man, Adam. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, came and he conquered sin. He came. By man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all die. All die spiritually. We are all dead. Some people say, well, you know, ask them if they're saved, they've been born again. They're like, well, I've always believed. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. That answer makes me very uncomfortable. George Whitefield one time said, the surest way to be sure that you're not in the faith is to believe that you've always been in the faith. To say, well, I've always believed. You literally have not always believed. You were born in unbelief. And until an act of grace saved you, you continued in unbelief. For as in Adam, all die. All are dead. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now that's a interesting verse, because is that universalism? Does that mean that everybody is going to be raised to life in Christ? No. But everybody will be resurrected. Some to life, and some to death. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. There is coming a day where every body buried on this planet, every body that's been cremated, every body that's been buried at sea, every body will be put back together, be reunited, and will spend eternity in the presence of the Father or out of the presence of the Father. You read about in Revelation when people are cast finally into the lake of fire. That final destination, that final judgment that's coming to the lost is a dreadful thing. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. You know, I preached this text a couple years ago. I think it was on Easter night. I'm going to go ahead and end this live stream. We're going to end in just a second. I preached this a couple years ago on Easter night. I felt like, man, that was a good Easter text, right? The resurrection. And one of the things that I said, I'm sure you all remember it very vividly, my sermon from 2 years ago. But if it's true that Paul says, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, preaching's vain, faith is vain, everything is vain and empty, everything for the Lord, everything you've ever done, everything is pointless if he be not risen. The inverse of that is also true. That if Christ isn't risen, it's all pointless, what you do for the Lord. But if Christ is written, if Christ is risen, your faith is not in vain. Amen. The preaching that you and I do is not in vain. Amen. Not only that, he says, if Christ isn't risen, you are yet in your sins. But you know what? If Christ is risen, you're not in your sins. Amen. If you've been born again, Christ is risen, you are not in your sins. The resurrection is the hinge point of the entire Christian faith. And it's where we find our hope. Without any resurrection, what's the point of anything? But because of Jesus, guys, listen. We can leave here tonight with all the hope in the world. And the thing that ought to motivate us, though, is that we know people who don't have that hope. And just because you have that hope, listen, I know whom I believe in, in whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know that. I know that. And there's peace and there's hope there. But I've got friends and family who do not have that hope. And I hate that for them. And if I can be selfish for a second, I hate that for me. Listen, I've got friends who I'm going to see again someday. And I've got friends who I'm never going to see again someday. And if that doesn't motivate you to tell people the gospel, what else is there? But there is a resurrection coming to every person. And if you're here tonight, listen, your body will be brought back. And you will spend eternity with God or in the lake of fire. That's it. There's no other holding cell. There's no, well, maybe I'll make it. That's it. What you do in this life determines whether you trust Christ, whether you believe the gospel, whether you obey the gospel, determines whether or not you spend eternity with God or away from God. That's it. And so we have these times where we preach, where we share, where we talk, and what it is just like has been happening for thousands of years, I am imploring each of you to look into your heart and to have that settled tonight. I really don't care how long you've been in this church. I don't care how long you've been around. Everybody, examine yourself to be sure that you're in the faith. And if you are, grab a hold of these promises. Think about 1 Corinthians 15. And think about the fact that Jesus is risen. We have all the hope in the world. And cling to those truths. Let's have a word of prayer. And Brother Dean, we're going to have a verse of invitation tonight. Let's pray together.